We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Everybody, what is up? Welcome once again to another edition here of the Football Guys Daily Fantasy Hour, all presented by RotoGrinders.com. I am your plucky host for the evening, Dan Bach. Joining us are, I always call them the Lee relatives. I've been doing it all season long, so I'm going to do it again. Somebody's going to go into that Ancestry.com one of these days and find the relation between Austin and John Lee. Austin, welcome. How are you, sir?
I am doing fantastic. I went to Columbia, South Carolina last night to see the Foo Fighters, and it was about a 3.5-hour drive each way, and it was totally worth it. So the wife and I had a great time seeing the show, and we've been doing this show for 3 years, and 2 years ago, when we were going to record our second episode, I had tickets to see the Foo Fighters, and I gave those tickets to a friend to go take my wife to that so that I didn't miss our second ever episode. I had never met Dan at that point. And so this was sort of like redemption for getting to go see them after missing that concert 2 years ago. So I am on cloud nine.
You know, John, it's who knows what direction this show could have gone in if Austin wasn't a part of it, because we might have just canned him for just standing us up on the second ever show. So, we might not have had to do these goofy loser lane videos and all the other things that we have going on if it wasn't for Austin being loyal to us over the Foo Fighters. So I'm glad that you could go back and kind of experience that, Austin.
Yeah, no, thank you. I appreciate that. It was a good birthday gift to my wife. And so we had an excellent time. We were three rows back on the floor. So we were like 10 feet away from Dave Grohl. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, always great when you give your wife birthday gifts that you can indulge in as well. John, I feel a little bit lost here today because we don't have your dachshund pillow pup behind you today. So on location one, John Tippenpick Lee. How are you doing, John? Out in California, are we here?
Yeah, I'm out in the San Diego area for some real life obligations, work obligations. And I'm telling you, I used to, when Austin lived out here, I was so envious because he recorded the show at what I thought was a decent hour, which was 6 p.m. But what I learned today is that doing show prep before 6 p.m. is really difficult to do. So I think what I'm going to do eventually is just move somewhere in the Midwest where it's kind of in the middle, because, you guys always make fun of me about wanting to go to bed so early. If I move to like Chicago, somewhere in that area of the country, I think that's like the sweet spot for me. The Goldilocks effect that I'm looking for.
How about mountain time? You know, are you a mountain guy? You know, Colorado, you know, they got, look at me. All right. Well, of course, if you're new to the show, welcome to it. Football Guys, Roto Grinders comes together, does this show for you each week. And Austin, you know, Football Guys, ton of great content. I'm going to let you sell it a little bit on what they've got for the people who are part of the Roto Grinders community who, you know, might want to venture over and see what you guys have to offer.
Yeah, we've got $45 for our entire season. It includes all of our season-long products as well as our daily fantasy web content. And we deliver, I don't know, like 50 different things that are just on DFS every week, if you include our matchups, videos, tools, and articles. And, you know, we cover the whole swath of DFS sites. But if you're looking for season-long stuff, please check us out. And then we've also got DFS stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know John's got his tips and picks article, which usually comes out on Saturday at some point in time. He puts in a ton of time on that. Really well done piece of content over there at Football Guys that I enjoy. If you're a Football Guys person, you're watching this show, you're like Roto Grinders. Well, if you're playing daily fantasy beyond just football, you got to give us a look. We've got a 7-day free trial on all of our content. NBA has just launched. We've started up a new premium NBA show right before the 30 minutes before lock, which is phenomenal. We've got a new live blog. And just, I'm telling you, we've been doing this longer than anybody. So if you're looking to kind of expand your horizons a little bit, please give us a look in our premium. Again, one price covers all sports, so we're not making you buy them individually. I think you'll enjoy it. All right, next up on the docket, Loser's Lane. That's right. John and I squared off last week, and it was one of those situations where all three of us built really good lineups. In fact, I think I won about 95% of my games last week, and I usually play head-to-head. Unfortunately, this matchup versus John fell into that 5%, and I was a loser. I mean, you put up, what was it, 180, John? Is that right?
Yeah, it was 179 and change, yes.
Oh, yikes. I mean, that's tough to beat. So so obviously that puts me on the hook for Loser's Lane here, guys. And I got to give major kudos here to the better half here, because the one thing that, you know, I know John does this too with his, and Austin we've seen in the past, like this is a group effort. Like you can't do these things by yourself. And I just got stumped. I had writer's block. And I said, honey, I need you to write me a rap. And lo and behold, we sat back. And I think we came up with something pretty good. So without any further ado, let's hit it. This week's Loser's Lane.
And you will find me on Loser's Lane.
Because I'm the week's loser. Yes, I'm the real loser. All you other big losers can hail the king.
My lineups. We're dead for the night.
When you add up all of those inches, it'll be the difference between winning and losing.
This is why this show is like no other in fantasy sports. You don't find that anywhere else. So stop. Building lineups and listen. Bach is back with a brand new addition. My team was so unsightly. It's John Lee. Don't take him lightly. Do I finish on top? Yo, I don't know. He's a scientist, not a DFS pro. It's a pipe dream to win this game without scandal. Still swapping off players like I'm drunk with a handle. Lock. And I start to sweat. John's team's putting me in debt. Choking Falcons D ain't strong. Baltimore made me sing this song. Drew left me hanging. His defense was buck. Deshaun was on fire. That boy don't suck. Lineup's got a problem. Nope, can't solve it. Paying with my word. Loser's Lane revolves it. Loser's Lane for DB. It's Loser's Lane for DB. It's Loser's Lane for DB. Word to your mother.
There you have it, boys. If you ever wanted to see me do a little bit of Vanilla Ice, you got your wish. That's what Loser's Lane is about. And fellas, I'm not going to lie. I felt pretty good about this one. You know, it was nice to kind of bring back. That's my era. Like, that was like junior high for me. And you know, I don't do rap very often, so I thought that one was fun to do.
Yeah, definitely. Make sure your wife helps out with these in the future. I think that is probably the best of you when you've got that support, as it is for all of us.
Did you give your kid back his shirt after you were done recording the video?
Oh, did you think that shirt was too small? Like, it was a FanDuel basketball jersey. I got it at, like, the last FanDuel basketball final. And so I was like, I'm probably never going to wear this, but I was thinking, like, yeah, this thing works pretty well. It kind of fit a little bit. So
it was great. Yeah, it was great.
Those glasses make you my hero for the rest of the show. Like,
hey, John, you have no room to call me for wearing things too small after you wore your daughter's cowboy hat a couple of weeks ago. Okay. Never again from you. So this week, we've got Austin and you going head to head. So one of the football guys will have to take a stroll down Loser's Lane next week. And we're all pulling for Austin to lose, to be honest with you, because he does the best videos. And so, yeah, but no offense, Austin. No offense.
Hey, it's got to be Halloween themed regardless of who loses.
That's true. It is. We have Halloween coming up. Like, that's, I guess it's the day after Halloween, right? So am I right or wrong? Or no, it's a week before.
Yeah, so it'll be the 25th on our next show. So, you know, it'll...
Okay. My whole schedule's off. I don't know. Yeah. All right, let's get to football. Let's get to this week 7. And you know what? This is just a brutal week for me in the sense of, like, we've got NBA starting. So I've got daily podcast radio shows. And then we got NFL, and it's like just my brain is turning to mush. And then we've got DraftKings, not including the Sunday night game, which is like the ultimate hammer here. And if you're playing Thursday through Monday, you know, you can't play that Thursday through Monday the same way you're going to play Sunday only. A lot of weeks you can. You can't do it this week. So, man, I'm just so disappointed by this. I know John's been on this harping as well. But this week it's really painful because a lot of times I can just play those Thursday through weekend lineups and be fine rolling the same lineup I do on Sunday, but you can't do it this week. So got to pay extra attention to that one. But let's get into some of the injuries here, and we'll start with the major one, John. And this was Aaron Rodgers with a busted collarbone. He's going to be out for the entire season. And Brett, don't call me Todd Hundley, is now going to be under center. And you know, I think last week for him was not a reflection on his ability as a quarterback. That was a really tough spot with zero preparation, and he looked terrible. He threw 3 interceptions. But now he gets a week to prepare. He's at home, and he's going against maybe an improved but still, I think, vulnerable Saints D. So for me, I don't mind Hundley. I want to get your early week take on him.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he's definitely in play this week, especially at his price. Looking over some of the early quarterback options this week, it's not pretty at quarterback. And Hundley is definitely in the consideration for cash games because of his price this week. You know, my biggest concern was I don't know enough about Hundley to really get into it. So what I did was to head over to our buddy, fellow football guy, Matt Waldman. Great college talent evaluator, and he's gone through a lot of the game film on Hundley, and you know, I took some quick notes. He published an article earlier this week. Basically, he says that he's really good at finding his receivers downfield. Where he lacks ability is maybe finding some of these guys over top of the linebackers across the middle of the field, basically laying it over those early defenders and the linebackers, but before the safety. So maybe that downgrades a guy like Randall Cobb moving forward while Hundley works on that skill set. But Waldman was pretty adamant that we're not going to lose a whole lot here, and that guys like Jordy Nelson and Devontae Adams are still going to get theirs, but it's a slight downgrade to Cobb and Bennett, the tight end. So you know, overall, I think this is a situation that we should really like, because as you pointed out, New Orleans a little bit better with Marcus Lattimore in the secondary, but they still are running out Kenny Vaccaro and Ken Crawley on the other side. And those guys have been really struggling in coverage. So overall, I think this is a pretty good spot for Hundley, and for DFS purposes, the price is right.
Yeah, and when you consider that we've got New Orleans as like a 5 to 6 point road favorite here in Green Bay, there could actually be a good amount of garbage time here for Hundley. It's super risky, and like if I'm playing on FanDuel this week, I'm probably not rolling him out there because A, they got a little bit softer salaries, and B, basically you've got Sunday Night Football, and you know, if there's ever a Matt Ryan smash spot, this is going to be it. But you know, if you're looking for savings, if you're looking for GPPs, I think Hundley's a guy that's worthy of consideration this week. And let's throw it out there, an early one. Is it Hundley or is it Tyrod Taylor? I mean, they're the same salary on DraftKings, Austin. You got a preference between those two?
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking to go low as you can go on these quarterback prices, I think that Taylor is my preference if it sounds like Winston is going to be healthy enough to go at full steam in this game. If it sounds like Winston's going to be limited in any way, then I prefer Hundley.
And Jameis Winston next on our list. I think he's going to play this week. He was on the sidelines throwing with his helmet on last week. They said he's not going to throw until late in the week. They don't want him to re-aggravate the shoulder injury, but I think he's going to end up going. So I don't think we're going to have Fitzpatrick here this week for Tampa. Kevin Hogan, boy, little buyer's remorse for some people in Kevin Hogan and cash. I was really hoping Tibbin Pick was going to go down that route when he built his team. Unfortunately, it was Deshaun Watson, which certainly worked out great for you. But I don't know what the Browns are doing here. You know, they play a guy, he's terrible, they bench him. Now they move him to third string. They move Kaiser back to first. They move Kessler to second. It is an absolute train wreck out there in Cleveland. And these are supposed to be those smart baseball guys running things there, right? Right, Tip and Pick? Isn't it the analytics guys?
Yeah, in Cleveland, that's what they're supposedly doing. But, you know, at some point, you've got to have some consistency, and you've got a young quarterback in Kaiser who certainly has not looked great this season, but you also have to remember this is his first go-around. And, you know, I remember watching some very great quarterbacks earlier in their careers, and they were not good, looking at guys like Andrew Luck here when I talk about that. You know, and so Kaiser is definitely – you know, he's got some issues, but in this particular matchup, I don't know. It's great, right? Tennessee yeah. is what? Yeah. Six most fantasy points to quarterbacks, 25th DVOA pass defense. It looks good. I don't know. Austin doesn't like it. Go ahead, Austin. You've got a strong take on it.
Well, you know, we talked to Devin Knotts a lot, who's a Cleveland fan on the Football Guys staff. And he says, just stay away from all Cleveland players all the time. He sent out a note internally to Football Guys. He's like, this is the, the 10th different starter, or the 10th time Cleveland has switched starters in the last 22 games at the quarterback position. Some of those guys have been the same guys bouncing back and forth. But at this point, he's like, they're just drawing names out of the hat for their freaking depth chart on quarterback. They're on a long road to ruin here. It's ugly. You want to stay away from these pretenders.
And they don't even have like any playmakers. I mean, Duke Johnson's all right, but you know, they've got a guy in Isaiah Crowell who doesn't bring any upside to the table. Their wide receivers are Ricardo Lewis. I mean, come on, like that guy should be, you know, a scrub probably on most teams, or it would be. And he's like their number one guy. Rashard Higgins, Kenny Britt obviously got hurt. Coleman gets banged up. But they just don't have any weapons. So I think that's kind of the problem. So I'm not considering them, even though Tennessee, if there's ever a spot for him to get it right, this might be it. And then kind of the surprise here was C.J. Beathard, the starter in San Francisco over Brian Hoyer, Austin. And I didn't think Hoyer played that horrible to kind of deserve to get benched, but here we are, and CJ Beathard going to be the starter this week versus the Cowboys, who hasn't been great defense so far to this point.
Yeah, but when you're looking at some of these cheap options, I don't think I want to, you know, take this time to watch Beathard learn to fly on this particular matchup. I would rather bet on someone like Hundley or one of these other kind of cheaper options, maybe like we talked about pivoting to Tyrod Taylor or something like that. I really don't have him in my lineup consideration this week.
Well, he and George Kittle, I believe, are teammates together. So you've got that working for you.
Which is interesting for Kittle's value, but not necessarily for Beathard's value.
Just one quick note on Beathard, because I found something today in my research that I thought was interesting and worth noting. He threw for 245 yards last week in two and a half quarters, which is really impressive if you extrapolate that out over a full game. But 177 of those yards were actually in the last 2 minutes of each half, during periods of time when the defense was in a prevent defense. So don't get overboard analyzing that stat line and thinking that he's going to be, those numbers extrapolate out over a full game.
Running backs, Leonard Fournette, you know what? I faded him last week and I felt like such a donkey after that first play. And I'm like, oh, here we go. Like losing week for Team DB. But then if you looked at the rest of the game, the guy didn't really do a whole lot. You know, that one big, you know, run made his day. And I just wonder if some of these, you know, the amount of workload that he's getting is going to catch up with him. I'm also worried that teams are just finally going to say, Blake Bortles, you beat us with your collection of mediocre wide receivers and tight ends. And I think that as the year goes on, we're going to get more and more of that. Now, he didn't practice here today. They said this ankle injury isn't that severe. And I think he's more on the probable side of questionable. But in the off chance that he wouldn't go, I can see exactly what's going to happen is everybody jump on Chris Ivory and be like, oh, look at what they were doing with Leonard Fournette, with not remembering that, oh, yeah, that was their running back a year ago with pretty much the same offensive line outside of, you know, Cam Robinson's improvement. But, I mean, I just could see this blowing up in people's face if for whatever reason Fournette doesn't go, John.
Yeah, I mean, Ivory is a real risk. Typically Ivory is always better early in the season than he is late. So maybe you could make the argument he doesn't have a lot of carries on his legs this year. But I think it's probably a moot point. I think that we're going to see Fournette in the lineup this week, especially because we already know that it looks like Marquise Lee is probably not going to play. I don't know. We'll talk about that in a minute. But, if they're only going to be able to run out Chris Ivory and Allen Hurns, I think they're going to be in a world of hurt against the Colts. I think they'll try to figure out a way to get at least one of those guys out there to diversify their weapons against this team.
Robert Turbin goes on the IR, and Marlon Mack, you know, what a horrible coaching situation we have in Indianapolis. They give the ball to Marlon Mack, first carry of the game. Or first carry, it might have been the first carry of the game, but his first carry of the game, he goes for 20 some odd yards, sees one more carry the entire rest of the game. Austin, you know, maybe this is the thing that could suddenly change. I mean, he is dirt cheap out there in DFS land this week, and obviously you're not playing him in cash games unless something would come out where he's the new starter, but he's, you know, 4.1 over there on DraftKings. He, you know, at least you get one more guy out of the mix, and he's looked really good the last games where he's actually carried the ball.
Yeah, I think he's worth some exposure in GPPs, but I'm gonna have pretty low exposure just because I don't trust that Indy offensive staff to give him enough work. And while Jacksonville is weaker against the run than they are against the pass, overall this is a pretty solid defense. I don't expect Indy to put up big numbers here. So I think if you are looking for a Marlon Mack breakout this week, I think you should wait for a different week for that play.
Yeah, I mean, you can run against Jacksonville. I mean, that's really the one thing you can do. You're obviously not passing against them. I think there's some upside on that side of it. But again, unless news breaks throughout the week that says, hey, you know, if they go, this is a 50-50 timeshare, I might be interested. If they don't say that, then it's tough to get excited about it. DeMarco Murray did not practice here on Wednesday. Obviously, they had a Monday night football game. And he came up with this hamstring, kind of aggravating it once again. And we saw Derrick Henry have a really nice game. He's 5.6K over on FanDuel this week. I think he's really interesting, John. Not a guy that I love in the PPR formats, but even in the off chance that, you know, Murray does play, I feel like Henry is the guy that they want to give the ball to more and would probably be like 60-40 in his favor. And at that price tag, if he gets you in the end zone, you're good to go.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's the big thing, especially on FanDuel, where he's priced appropriately. If he were a bit more money, I might fade him just from a matchup perspective, because this Cleveland defense is pretty stout up front. I think they're third in the league DVOA rush defense, allowing only about 3 yards per carry. And I've talked about that on the show previously, that you know, a team like Cleveland, who's always losing, generally gets throttled by the run. And they're really not giving up a lot of yards per opportunity. That said, you know, the price is too good on Henry. And they're, what, 5.5-point favorites with an implied team total of 26 points, which is fifth highest on the week this week. So certainly you've got to give him some consideration, especially over there on FanDuel at that price.
Yeah, I mean, if Murray would be out this week, there's a cash game running back for you.
Yep.
No doubt in my mind. Let's get some wideouts. Tyreek Hill, concussion symptoms. I don't know the latest on that. It's a Thursday game. I'm not playing Thursday this week, at least on DraftKings. FanDuel, I might give it a run, but keep your eye on that situation. Emmanuel Sanders, he is going to be out with an ankle injury. And Benny Fowler, remember him? He had a pretty good game. Like, was it the first one or second one of the year? Yeah, week first game of the year.
Touchdowns.
Yes. Dude is dirt cheap. Like, there is not many cheap wide receivers out there. He is the one guy that's kind of popping a little bit here, John.
Yeah, I think he's got to be in consideration for cash games this week. 3,300 on DraftKings, dirt cheap over there on FanDuel, site minimum at 4,500. You know, and last week they were after Sanders got hurt and they were playing from behind. Fowler had 8 targets last week, and I don't know whether that's repeatable this week, but I will say that Sanders was averaging 8.2 targets per game entering this week, and those 8.2 targets have to be redistributed. And if you start to think about whether or not Demaryius Thomas is going to get shadow coverage from Casey Hayward, there may end up being more opportunities than we might otherwise even think of those 8.2 to be redistributed. So I think this is a great spot for him. The one concern I have, and it's the same concern I have when we're talking about Demaryius Thomas, so it's not really a reflection on Fowler so much, it's that Trevor Siemian, whether or not we trust him to get the ball to Benny Fowler. And, you know, at this price, I think the opportunity cost is low enough that I'm willing to take that risk.
Yeah, I think we wrote off the Giants' defense a little too early. Like, I mean, they haven't been great, but it's more been the offense which has been the problem. So we probably shouldn't have been shocked to see Siemian put up a dog of a game last week. So maybe this is a little bit better spot against, you know, the Chargers, who, although they've won a couple games in a row, building a little bit of confidence there. Stephon Diggs, questionable still with his groin injury. We'll see as we draw closer if he is out. Adam Thielen is just, you know, a target monster. You don't love this matchup versus Baltimore. It's not like it was against Green Bay a week ago, but it's good enough, and I don't know if the price has come up quite enough to take him out of consideration for us. Devontae Parker did not practice today, and we saw Kenny Stills get a touchdown for your former hometown team, Dolphins, there, Austin. Could be another nice little value option.
Oh, yeah. I think that if Parker's out, I think Kenny Stills is low enough this week that he's worth consideration. I think that his consistency is not something that you want to lean on in cash games, but, you know, because he relies a little bit on touchdowns. But if you're looking for like upside, a generator of upside for your GPPs, I think you could have a little exposure to him, but only if, only if Devontae Parker's out.
John, I saw you tweet something about Marquise Lee and Allen Hurns, so I'm going to give you the floor because I feel like you want to talk about this situation a little bit.
I mean, it's a great situation for Allen Hurns if Marquise Lee does not play. He's questionable with a knee. He did not practice today, Wednesday. So if you're listening to this later in the week, certainly check back and see what his practice situation is. But excuse me, the matchup couldn't be better against Indianapolis. They have the 27th DVOA pass defense. And then if we look to when over the past 3 years, when Hurns has played with and without Lee. With Lee, he's only averaging 10.8 fantasy points per game. I should note this is in DK scoring formats. But without Lee in the lineup, that number jumps up to 16.4. So it's about a 50% increase in terms of his fantasy production when Marquise Lee is not in the lineup. And if that's the case, I think this week he's cheap enough that I want to say 4,100 on DraftKings, and I think 5,800 on FanDuel that I think he merits consideration on both sites.
And just to add a little bit more context to that stat, those numbers also included Allen Robinson being on the field, getting the majority of the looks. So he's not obviously playing. That's probably more just going to funnel that way. So I think that's an intriguing consideration to have if we're without Marquise Lee. Let's get to our chalk talk here, and we'll start at the quarterback position. And, again, this is just kind of a lousy situation that we only got one site to play it on. But, you know, Matt Ryan against New England here, John. New England has made every quarterback they've played so far be, I believe, a 300-yard passer. And Matt Ryan's a guy who's had a down year. And I don't think anybody's expected him to put up the same year he had last year. But I don't think anybody kind of thought the drop-off would be this dramatic. But we saw Cam Newton get right against New Orleans or New England. I don't see why or how Matt Ryan doesn't get right.
Oh, I agree with you. I mean, this New England defense is just horrendous. Looking at the fantasy points allowed, again, DraftKings scoring, they're by far the worst. They're allowing 25 points per game to opposing quarterbacks this season. The next closest person or team is Tampa Bay at 21.6. That's a dramatic – that's like almost 20% higher than the rest of the league. And as you've already said, they've allowed every single passer to throw for 300 yards this season. And that's a list that includes Josh McCown. I think that basically says all we need to know. And if we're talking about regression to the mean, we're certainly enabling Matt Ryan here to start regressing to some of his more historical numbers. I think this is a great spot for him to really break out. And the ownership is going to be through the roof because everybody loves to have that Sunday night hammer, especially in GPP formats. But you've got to give him consideration because the matchup is just too good.
Awesome. We also got Drew Brees, though, who's a favorite on the road against this Packers defense, who's been pretty equally as dreadful against the pass this season. And Brees, I don't think he's thrown for 300 yards in like two or three consecutive games. And, obviously they scored 50 some odd points or 60 points last game, and he didn't get there. I know that because I had him in our loser's lane game against Young. pretty disappointing there, but we're not going to see their defense score four touchdowns very often. And I think Brees gets back over 300 again this week and probably throws 2 to 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, I think the only thing that could throw a monkey wrench into this plan is if New Orleans gets up so big on Green Bay because Hundley struggles, they could continue to lean on this running game like we saw last week. And so Brees isn't my favorite play in that bunch. I'm actually looking at Dak Prescott and Cam Newton in that same kind of price range as guys that I like more in cash this week.
Dak is super safe. I mean, yeah. John says it every week. Like, he is like the ultimate safety play out there. But I also feel like his upside feels a little bit capped. We do have Zeke here back this week. I just feel like there's a little bit greater potential with Brees than there is on Prescott, at least for GPPs. Cash games, I think you make a pretty good argument, but the salary, I think it's pretty close. Dak is juiced up a little bit this week. So I think Brees is squarely in the conversation again. We talked about the cheapies as well. Let's move on to running back here, guys. And this is interesting week here. There's a lot of names to talk about. You know, last week, you know, I don't know how people weren't on Ingram and McKinnon on DraftKings. Anybody who wasn't, I felt was kind of a donkey. But even on FanDuel, Ingram was under 10% owned in GPPs, which did not make sense to me. And so there is still edge to be had here. But, John, you know, this week it's a mix of you know, really big name guys and then I think some guys in the middle tier. You got McCoy on this list, or somebody put McCoy on this list. He plays Tampa Bay. He's still yet to find the end zone. Is this the week he finds the end zone?
It's got to be the week he finds the end zone because, I mean, who else does Buffalo have at this point? They've lost just about every receiver they have outside of Zay Jones. Charles Clay is gone. You know, I think this is a situation where they can really lean on McCoy to kind of carry the team to a victory. Tampa Bay has the 14th ranked DVOA defense. They're certainly more susceptible through the air, but McCoy, as we know, is a great receiver out of the backfield. I think he's a fine play this week, and his price is somewhat depressed because he hasn't gotten into the end zone. And as a home favorite, I'm willing to take the chance and put him into my cash game rosters at his current price.
Yeah, I like him too because he's, you know, if he's over 8K, maybe you're not going there, but in the sevens, it's too high of a floor with what he does in the pass game. I like Carlos Hyde this week against Dallas, Austin. He's cheap, under 6K on DraftKings, under 7K on FanDuel. Everybody got nervous about the workload split, and what does he do? He scores 2 touchdowns last week, and again, getting so much work in that pass game. Didn't run a ton, but Dallas's defense isn't great. I think I can get behind Carlos Hyde at that salary. Again, is even a potential cash game player.
Yeah, he's high on my cash game list for sure. I should have known that it was coach speak last week about getting, you know, Hyde maybe doesn't have the job. You know, I think that was just a motivational ploy. So I'm behind the Carlos Hyde play this week. Dallas allows the third most normalized fantasy points to running backs. This is a great matchup for him.
Yeah, 32nd DVOA against pass catching running backs. So he should have a field day here. John, can we trust Jay Ajayi? He finally looked like the Jay Ajayi last week that we were expecting the previous 5 weeks and showed up and, you know, nobody had him. Nobody was playing him against the Falcons. And the dude put up a monster game. Now he gets the Jets, 6,200 on, I think, DraftKings, 7,400 on FanDuel. Pretty reasonable again here.
Yeah, I mean, and you can't argue with the type of volume that this guy gets. I mean, I'm looking over his game logs right now. 3 out of the 5 games, and those happen to be games where they were competitive, which for the Dolphins hasn't been often. In three of those games, he had 25 touches. So 25, 26, and 28 touches. And he's just too cheap. Again, it's almost like the LeSean McCoy thing where he hasn't scored a touchdown yet this season. And because he hasn't, that price is depressed. We saw this a few weeks ago with Melvin Gordon. I think that Ajayi is a very similar situation this week with a game script that sets up well on his behalf. His home favorites, 3.5-point home favorite.
This league is nuts. I mean, a Jay Cutler-led team that went back-to-back games without scoring could be 3-2 here very shortly, or it could be 4-2. I think they're 3-2 right now. It could be 4-2. Just craziness. But that's the NFL for you. And then let's talk about the top end guys here, because all these guys are kind of in that middle tier. And we've got Bell, Hunt, Zeke, Fournette, Gurley. And I didn't even throw big Melvin Gordon in there as well, who just gets 30 freaking touches a game and does nothing with them on the ground, but he gets enough when it's all said and done. I mean, how do you give me like top 2 out of that list, John, and then we'll ask Austin.
I think I've learned at this point not to go against Le'Veon Bell. I don't care what the matchup is. So Le'Veon Bell's probably at the top of my list. They just use him like an absolute workhorse. And then outside of him, I don't know. Todd Gurley is in a very similar boat because of the volume that he gets. And, you know, the LA Rams, this game is in London, right? And we've been talking about this behind the scenes over football guys. And the Rams actually pulled a pretty smart maneuver where they played last week against Jacksonville. Yep. And rather than flying back to LA, 5 hours and then flying 10 hours back to London. They actually just left from Jacksonville straight to London, which I think is going to benefit them because the Cardinals have not done that. So I think that actually gives a little boost to Gurley's value that maybe a lot of people aren't yet talking about.
What about you, Austin? What are your favorite payups here?
I think that Ezekiel Elliott, especially on FanDuel, is a great play this week. If you're going high-end cash running backs, he's the one that I'm looking at because San Francisco allows the second most normalized fantasy points to running backs. But I would not be as excited over on DraftKings where his price is juiced up to 9,000. I like the 8,700 over on FanDuel more. And then I got to go with John here on Le'Veon Bell in terms of the other high-end guy that I'm looking at. He's just, regardless of what the game is, he's got that resolve in the passing and in the running game that's going to get him the fantasy points you need. So if you're going to pay up, he's the safest option, I feel.
Yeah, like. And Pittsburgh learned their lesson. We don't run it, we lose to Jacksonville. We run it, and we beat Kansas City on the road. Go figure. I think they'll probably go back to that. I think wide receiver this week, there's not a lot to love, but I think that Michael Thomas against Green Bay looks like a really good spot for him in this, you know, against that secondary. Seemingly talk about Julio Jones every single week on this show, but I'll probably fire him again if I'm playing that slate. I think you have to, John. I think you have to play him. I'm sorry. And the price didn't drop on him. They juiced him back up, but I think they juiced him up because they know he's going to go for 2 touchdowns and 100 yards.
Yeah, I mean, I had so much Julio last week, and I actually had an excellent week. And GPPs, had Julio had the type of game I needed him to have, it could have been a six-figure weekend for me. It was that close. It was just he didn't pull through for me in key spots. This week, he's almost got to do it. Now, you know, there's two ways you can go here. There's a lot of game strategy we could talk about because of what the ownership levels might look like. But there's also the and I hate talking about it, but we have to, and that's the Bill Belichick take away the best weapon thing. If you believe that, and I'm not saying that I do, but if you believe that, then Julio Jones is the guy they've obviously have to go after. But I don't think they have the personnel to do so. Yeah. So for that reason, it's Julio Jones, and you can only get him on one site, so you almost have to play him. You know, and ordinarily you divide it up and maybe get a little bit at each where, but if it's only on FanDuel, I think you go after him because the matchup is just too good.
I think that theory about the New England defense is DOA this year. Like in the previous years, it was a thing you could count on, but I don't think you mess with it this year. You also don't mess with playing Julio Jones over on DK this week, where they jacked his price all the way up to 10,100. Like, I'm not.
Did they really? I have not. I'm not playing Thursday through the weekend on DraftKings, but
unless my numbers are messed up. Actually, hold on. My data has been a little funky on that particular game.
Okay, you better that.
Let me double check that.
Double check that number. Because again, I'm not playing over there.
Some of the sites have been doing that though. They've been, for those shorter slates, they've been making the prices a little more higher to drive down.
Yeah, and that's what it is to Austin too, because they've, you know, you're playing them on Sunday, and I guess you can play them on the Monday.
Never mind. It's 8,500. Sorry.
8,500.
Okay. Yeah, my automated scripts let me down on that one. Never mind.
Well,
it's still worth considering GPPs at 8,500.
Oh, for sure. You're playing him. Lastly, I do think Demaryius Thomas is fine. I think you can play him and Fowler together, and you get pretty much all the production from there. And maybe not the highest upside move, but you're not, you know, you're spending, what, $5,800 on Demaryius. Fowler's 3.3. You're getting a lot of receiving equity there, John, if you would play those guys together. And I know we think Casey Hayward's, like, shut down. He does shadow, but he hasn't been that great this year. He hasn't been as good as in years past. I think the numbers reflect.
Yeah, I mean, he's struggled, especially with touchdowns. I think he's allowed three touchdowns over the past 2 or 3 weeks. Last week he was a bit better. He went up against Amari Cooper, I believe. He shouted Amari.
Ooh, tough. Tough thing to do.
Or was it?
I could shut down Amari Cooper right now.
I don't know about that, but. I mean, Hayward's given up some touchdowns. Look, The bottom line here is without Manny Sanders in the lineup, Demaryius is going to get his looks. I mean, they work to get him the ball in space. They'll do that quick drop back, throw a screen pass to him, and let him do his yards after the catch thing. I looked at the projections we have on Football Guys. He's projected out as one of the best value receivers on the slate this week. So I can't argue with the numbers. But for me, I think I was looking just a second ago, and of course I'm blanking on the name. For me, maybe a guy like Pierre Garçon is in the same boat. He's 5,800 as well. He goes up against Dallas, and Dallas doesn't have much in the secondary this year. So I think I would rather go that route.
I'm going to make a bold prediction. You're saying this now, and then you'll dig in even more, and then come Saturday when you're doing your tips and picks, and Sunday morning when you're on the RG, you know, flagship show, you're going to be like, okay, I'm on Demaryius Thomas.
It wouldn't be the first time. It wouldn't be the first time this has happened.
We do this show early. It usually happens about one guy per week where you do a little bit more and you're like, okay, you know, this, I was kind of wrong on that take. So I think this is your guy this week. Tight ends, I love tight ends this week. I think it's a double tight end week on DraftKings because a lot of these guys, there's, you know, the wide receivers icky in that kind of 4K-ish range, even 5K-ish range, low. But you can get some real solid guys at tight end. I mean, we got Hunter Henry at 4.2. We've got Kyle Rudolph, I think, at like 3.8 versus Baltimore. We've got Jimmy Graham in the 4K range, like 4.9 against the Giants. And I didn't even talk about Delanie Walker against Cleveland. Like, I love the tight end spot. Austin, I'm almost certainly going to go double tight end this week.
Yeah, I think this is a week to do it. I mean, the tight end position has sort of been like a feast and the famine this year, but there's a lot of mid-range tight ends that are high quality matchups this week. The only catch is if you're not really looking to pay up at tight end this week, because all the expensive ones are on weird slates. Cause you've got Gronkowski in Sunday Night Football, Ertz in Monday Night Football, and Kelsey on Thursday Night Football. You kind of have to go to that mid range, but fortunately there's a lot of great options there.
And they're well priced. Yeah. And we'll get to some of these guys in a little bit. Defense. I can't believe that Denver allowed the Giants to do what they did. That doesn't happen this week. Seattle, play them, John. I'm telling you, play them. I know they're expensive, but I don't think the Giants score anything but field goals this week. And, you know, extra week to prepare coming off the bye. I don't know if the Giants went back to New York and then are flying back out to Seattle or if they pulled the Rams and hung out west. But Eli Manning gets eaten up this week on the road.
Totally with you. I don't even have anything to add to it. I think you nailed everything on that front. I'm on board. The only other defense I would consider this week are the Vikings against Baltimore.
All right. A couple of game flows that are very advantageous. Atlanta, New England. We don't even spend much time on that, John. I mean, that can just go and shoot out. I mean, I don't see a poor game script for Matt Ryan this week because – he needs to score a lot, knowing that you got Tom Brady on the other end. Maybe Brady gets to be the overlooked, you know, quarterback here because he's a bit more expensive. But I think this game is going to shoot out. But the next game we have is Arizona and the Rams. And if you take, you know, that Sunday night game out of the slate and you're playing DraftKings, this is might be the best game we got, like shootout-wise, maybe. Like, it's an ugly slate.
It is an ugly slate, but I think this is a game worth looking at. It's worth pointing out that this game's actually a 1 p.m. game, unlike the other London games that we've had. So it's actually on the main slate. The thing that stood out to me about this game is that we've got two offenses that run really fast. We have the 4th and 11th offenses, respectively. Arizona running the 4th, the Rams running the 11th. And in neutral situations, it actually gets flip-flopped. The Rams are running the fastest offense in the league. If you actually think about that, with Arizona throwing about 70% of the time right now, this could be a game that just goes back and forth throughout. And I think that players will be under-owned from this game because traditionally these London games have been hit or miss, but I think this one might be a hit.
But Austin, we got to talk a little bit about Adrian Peterson because we saw Carson Palmer only throw the ball 22 times last week.
Yeah, it was funny because after last week's show, the three of us were arguing about where Arizona's points were going to come from. Was Carson Palmer going to throw three touchdowns or was Adrian Peterson going to score? The answer was yes.
Yes.
but this week, I think that there's going to be somewhere to run for both of these teams. I think the running game is what's going to succeed based on the matchups here. I think we could see another good game from Peterson. Although I think more people are going to be on him, obviously, after last week's game. And then, I think we'll see some action from Gurley here. You can't count him out, even though Arizona's a little weaker against the pass than they are against the run. I think that he's the guy you want to lean on here.
Yeah, I'm not playing Peterson on DraftKings. He's got zero reception equity, and you need that over there. FanDuel, he's still pretty cheap.
Exactly.
If you think he can find the end zone, that's the site you want to play him on. All right, let's get to the wide receiver quarterback matchups. John, take us through it. What do we got?
It's an interesting week this week. Not as much stood out to me in my first run through, but a couple did. I think Eric Decker has been moved out of the slot quite often this season, and he's actually going up against Jamar Taylor, who's allowing 77% of the passes thrown into his coverage to be caught. He's given up almost 400 yards, three touchdowns, and opposing quarterbacks have a QB rating of about 144 when throwing into his coverage this season. Decker has been getting more attention in that offense over the past 2 weeks or so. So don't sleep on him this week. Up there in that big game, if you're playing the Thursday-Monday slate on DraftKings or the all-day slate, obviously, on FanDuel, Danny Amendola has a great matchup against Brian Poole, the slot cornerback in Arizona. He's allowing 80% of passes thrown into his coverage. And the interesting thing that stood out to me looking through the numbers is about 50% of the yards that he's allowed through the air this season, 50% of them have come after the catch. And we know that Danny Amendola is really good at getting some extra yardage after the catch. So I kind of like him this week.
Sorry, you said Brian Poole of Atlanta, not Arizona, just to clarify.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, that was an AA thing, I guess.
Yeah.
And then I've got two more, but one I'm going to save for later in the show. The last one is Robert Woods going up against Justin Bethel. He's allowed 6 touchdowns in coverage this season, which is incredible through 6 weeks of NFL football, almost 500 yards while in coverage. And I think that this week's not going to be any better for him because Sammy Watkins will get shadow coverage, from Patrick Peterson. Cooper Kupp should see plenty of Tyrann Mathieu out of the slot. And that really only leaves one viable receiver, and that's a big play receiver in Robert Woods. Love this play for GPPs. And it's one that I'll be trying to exploit. In terms of bad matchups, Sammy Watkins, I just told you, will be shadowed by Patrick Peterson. T.Y. Hilton's going to have his hands full with Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Boye. He's not been running out of the slot as much this season as he has in years past. We talked about Demaryius going up against Casey Hayward. And then I think you can pretty much minimize the Chargers receivers because they go up against that amazing Denver defensive backfield.
So we're calling Robert Woods a big play receiver. Is that what we're doing?
A big play receiver in the sense that he's a fast guy that can get behind a defense and get an 80-yard touchdown like that.
Maybe against Justin Bethel, but he's still Robert Woods. Let's get to our Fool's Gold bounce back. Running out of time here. I'll start it out. Hey, I called Aaron Rodgers as Fool's Gold last week. I knew that he was going to have that shoulder injury. But no, I'm going to go big again, though, and I'm going to throw Antonio Brown out there this week. I am obviously he's been incredible as a tournament player so far this season, but historically he does not match up well against the Cincinnati Bengals team. He had that one really good playoff game. You take that out of the equation, and they've been holding him consistently under 100 yards per game. Even last week, the touchdown that he had was fluky. I mean, should have been probably picked off. Ben does not look right. And really low total in this one. I said it earlier. They learned their lesson. It's Le'Veon Bell week, so I'm off of Antonio Brown. My bounce back, a Seattle defense I love, and I love Jimmy Graham here. I mean, this guy is running routes in, I think, like 86% of his snaps, and he's a guy who I think finds the end zone at least once in this game. Wouldn't shock me if he got there twice, if maybe a little week off. Helps this offense get going a little bit, so I love Jimmy Graham as my bounce back. All right, tip and pick, what you got?
We both got some strong takes on this Seattle Giants game. I think a lot of people are going to be on Evan Ingram once again because he's really the only receiver there in New York right now. But Cam Chancellor will do whatever he needs to do to shut him down and try to make the Giants beat them elsewhere. I think Evan Ingram's going to be over-owned. Our early ownership projections has him as the highest tight end owned in GPPs over on DraftKings to this point. I think he's fool's gold this week. The player who I think could be in a bounce back situation. This is a sleeper, certainly not a, I can already see the eyes. This is not a cash game play, but Zay Jones will go up against a combination of Vernon Hargreaves and Robert McClain. These guys rank 68th and 57th out of 72 cornerbacks on Pro Football Focus. They're allowing 80% of – I'm going to finish off this take. 80% of passes thrown into coverage. They've allowed over 600 combined yards and three touchdowns. The Buffalo Bills have to score, according to Vegas, three touchdowns this week. Maybe they all go to LeSean McCoy, but I think Zay Jones gets peppered with targets. And at his price, I think he's worth a look in GPPs.
Okay, Austin. Look, good thing we're out of time, so we can't mock that pick. Go ahead.
Let's see. I'm going to also poop all over the Giants and say don't buy into Orleans Darkwa this week. Even though he's had a couple of decent games here, you're trying to get something from nothing if you're banking on this offense. And then, I've got a more sort of out on a limb, I guess, fool's gold. I'm going to go back to Melvin Gordon again and say, you know, there's no way back from here. I keep going back to Melvin Gordon waiting.
Dude, for he gets 30 game. Touches every game. So
I know he does, but Denver allows the least amount of normalized fantasy points to running backs. I'm going to say no on this thing. This is the week where Gordon gets shut down. And then I've got two easy bounce backs, LeSean McCoy and Julio Jones.
Well, he didn't. He made up for the Zay Jones out there, and he just took the little finger roll layup.
That's right.
That was McCoy and Jones are very good picks. Guys, we're out of kind of time for who you got here. So we certainly want to thank everybody for giving us a watch here on rotogrinders.com. Make sure you check them out over at Football Guys, John and Austin. I know they've got the Power Grid video, which comes out, Thursday?
We release it on Friday mornings.
Okay, that's always a fun one. And if you haven't subscribed to our Daily Fantasy Football podcast feed, you can get all of our Roto Grinders football content in one place. Videos, audio podcasts, everything you need. It's free. Check it out on iTunes. And we'll be back next week. One of these two guys will be performing for you. And yeah, Austin doesn't know which way to point. Wrong way. You just pointed to yourself. Thanks again for watching. We got the DFS Pick 6 coming up next with Rich Rebar, Evan Silva, and Eric Crane. For my pals, John and Austin, I'm Dan Bach, wishing you best of luck this week 7. We'll talk to you next week right here on Roto Grinders. See you, everybody.